Picture this. You have a custom software application at your company,
Right.
and it is the absolute backbone of your daily operations. I mean, it processes your orders, it manages your inventory, keeps the customers happy, and basically just keeps the lights on.
It's doing the heavy lifting.
Exactly. And it has been doing this reliably for 5, 8, maybe even 10 years. It doesn't crash, it never complains. So, as a business leader, why on earth would you suddenly approve a six-figure budget to replace a system that is fundamentally not broken?
That is, that's the classic enterprise dilemma right there.
Yeah.
You look at the system, you look at the budget, and you think, well, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah.
But the problem is that mindset completely overlooks how modern software architecture actually functions under the surface.
Welcome to today's deep dive. We are digging into a really fascinating piece of source material today to guide us through this exact scenario. It's a comprehensive guide, published just recently in March 2026 by the Technigian team.
Right, the title is .NET to .NET 8 Migration: Why Your Legacy App Is Costing You More Than You Think.
That's the one. And our mission for this deep dive is to explore the hidden taxes of legacy technology, the gritty realities of modernizing these massive enterprise applications, and of course, how artificial intelligence is fundamentally changing the entire migration game.
And to really understand this, I mean, we need to ground our conversation in today's reality. Today is March 3, 2026. The entire .NET ecosystem has hit a massive inflection point.
It really has.
Delaying this kind of infrastructure decision is no longer just, kicking the can down the road.
Yeah.
Microsoft already ended support for .NET 6 back in August 2025.
Wow, already.
Yes. And the window for a smooth transition to .NET 8 long-term support is narrowing rapidly.
Yeah.
So 2026 is truly the decisive year where inaction just becomes a massive, massive liability.
Okay, let's unpack this because the whole premise of this Technigian data really rests on the idea of a hidden tax. And I like to think of legacy software a bit like an old gas-guzzling car.
Oh, that's a good way to look at it.
Right. Because sure, you turn the key, the engine starts, and it gets you from point A to point B. It still
Yeah.
drives. But every single time you pull up to the pump, it is just draining your wallet.
Yeah, and the replacement parts are impossible to find.
Exactly. And your mechanic charges you double just to look at the thing. So not broken absolutely does not mean not costing you money.
That analogy holds up perfectly when you look at the enterprise level. The absolute heaviest tax you are paying with that old car, or in this case, legacy .NET Framework 4.8, is security and compliance.
The non-negotiables.
Right. As I mentioned, .NET 6 is out of support. But legacy .NET Framework 4.8 is currently in what Microsoft calls permanent maintenance mode.
I gotta say, permanent maintenance mode actually sounds kind of comforting.
Comforting.
Yeah, like someone is keeping an eye on it forever, just maintaining it.
Well, it sounds safe until you realize what it actually means in practice. Permanent maintenance mode means the framework only receives critical security patches as a component of the Windows operating system.
Oh.
There are no new features being added, no performance improvements. There is zero innovation happening. It is essentially on life support.
So it's completely stagnant.
Worse than stagnant.
Yeah.
Unsupported or minimally supported runtimes are a primary attack vector for enterprise applications. Hackers know these older systems are brittle.
Right, they're looking for the cracks.
Exactly. And if you operate in a regulated industry, think healthcare, financial services, logistics, running production workloads on these legacy versions is not just a difference of technical opinion among your engineers. Your auditors and regulators will flag it as a documented, auditable security deficiency.
Meaning you fail your compliance audits,
You do.
which can cost a business massive contracts. And look, if the security risks don't get you, the talent drain absolutely will. I was looking through the hiring data in the source material, and the reality of recruiting in 2026 is brutal.
It really is a tough market.
Yeah. Let's say you are a company operating in the Irvine Tech Corridor, or maybe you are competing for talent in the Santa Monica startup ecosystem. You put out a job listing for a senior engineer to come work on your decade-old app.
You are going to hear crickets.
Total silence. Because the new engineers hitting the job market in 2026 are not looking to work on 10-year-old tech. They expect cloud-native architecture, they expect to be deploying in containers, and they expect to be working with modern .NET 8 or newer.
Keeping your legacy tech actively narrows your hiring pipeline. You are forcing your HR department into a corner where they have to hunt for developers who are specifically willing to work on outdated technology.
Which is a shrinking pool.
Exactly. Because the pool of developers willing to do that is shrinking every single day. You end up paying significantly higher compensation just to secure those specialized legacy skills.
That's wild.
You're paying a premium for a developer to maintain a system that is actively falling behind the industry standard.
It is the ultimate lose-lose situation. You pay more for older skills. But on the flip side of that, the source details this incredible performance dividend you get when you finally do pull the trigger and migrate.
The numbers on that are staggering.
They jump right off the page. Migrating an application from the old .NET framework to modern .NET 8 yields 30 to 50% faster request handling. Plus, organizations report a 40 to 60% reduction in memory usage.
That is a massive efficiency boost just from changing the foundation.
Right.
And that efficiency boost translates directly into hard dollars, especially when you factor in the operating system. Yeah. You can call this the Linux factor.
The Linux factor.
Yeah. Modern .NET is fundamentally different from the legacy versions because it runs natively cross-platform.
Wait, so just to be clear, legacy .NET was locked into Windows.
Yes. Legacy .NET requires you to host your application on Windows Server. That means every single month you are paying Windows Server licensing fees to Microsoft just to keep your application online.
Okay.
By moving to modern .NET 8, you can deploy your application on Linux servers instead.
Meaning those Windows Server licensing costs?
It's up to $0.
$0, wow.
When you combine the fact that the application uses half the memory, meaning you need fewer servers overall, with the total elimination of Windows licensing fees, enterprises see their cloud hosting bills just plummet. It is a massive financial dividend that offsets the cost of the migration itself.
Okay, so lower hosting bills, faster apps, happier developers, and you pass your security audits. I mean, I am completely sold, but I am guessing I can't just click an update button in my developer settings and be done with it before lunch.
I wish it were that easy.
Right.
Not even close.
Right.
The marketing materials for software upgrades love to make it sound like a breeze.
Yeah.
But the reality of an enterprise-level migration is incredibly messy.
So let's bust the myth of the simple upgrade then. Where does it actually get stuck?
The biggest roadblock is rarely your own custom business logic. The roadblock is what we call dependency cascades.
Okay.
Over the course of 5 or 10 years, an enterprise application will accumulate dozens, sometimes hundreds, of NuGet packages.
And think of these NuGet packages like the load-bearing beams in a house, right?
Yes.
They are the pre-packaged bits of code, the third-party integrations that developers plug into the app so they don't have to reinvent the wheel every time they need a calendar widget or a PDF generator.
That is a really great way to look at it. You have relied on third-party developers to maintain those load-bearing beams. But when you migrate to .NET 8, every single one of those third-party dependencies must either support the new modern framework or be completely replaced.
Boy.
And the nightmare scenario is discovering that the original creator of a crucial package abandoned it 5 years ago.
So you pull out an old beam, go to buy a new one, and realize the factory shut down in 2021.
Exactly. And suddenly your engineering team has to build that load-bearing beam themselves from scratch. Mapping out that web of dependencies requires deep, specialized knowledge of both the legacy ecosystem and the modern one.
And I noticed in the source material that it isn't just third-party code that causes these nightmares. Microsoft itself has killed off several core technologies that enterprises have relied on for years.
They have.
What happens if my entire application's user interface is built on something that Microsoft doesn't even support in the new version?
You are likely referring to web forms.
Yes, web forms.
If your legacy application's user interface was built using web forms, there is zero migration path. You cannot simply translate it. You have to rebuild the entire user interface logic from scratch using a modern framework like Blazor or React.
So Blazor and React are essentially the modern languages used to draw the screens and buttons the user actually interacts with.
Correct. And the underlying communication layers are changed too.
Yep.
Older apps relied heavily on WCF, Windows Communication Foundation, to let different pieces of software talk to each other.
Right.
That is no longer fully supported either. You have to migrate those communication layers to modern standards like gRPC or REST APIs.
So a migration forces you to make complex architectural decisions. It isn't just a copy-paste job.
Not at all. It is a fundamental rewiring of how the application communicates internally.
Which brings up a detail in the Technigian data that I cannot stop thinking about. It is regarding the testing gap.
Ah, yes.
They highlight a specific enterprise migration case study where the engineering team had to add over 400 new automated tests during the migration process. Why would an app that has been running fine for 10 years suddenly need 400 new tests just to change the framework?
Because subtle behavioral differences between the old runtime and the new runtime will absolutely wreck your production environment if you aren't careful.
Really? Like what kind of differences?
For example, how the old framework parses a date format. Or how it handles a specific memory allocation might be slightly different in .NET 8.
So the code looks identical, but the computer interprets it just differently enough to cause a crash.
Yes. These subtle defects might easily pass a quick manual review by a developer, but they will break real-world workflows the second a customer touches them.
That is terrifying.
It is. You have to add those comprehensive automated tests before you migrate. You run the tests on the old system to establish a baseline, then run them on the new system to ensure the modern code behaves identically.
Makes sense.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, how does a business actually survive this process?
Yeah.
You cannot simply take an enterprise application offline for 3 months while your engineering team rewrites the user interface and tests 400 different date formats. The business would grind to a halt.
Yeah, you can't just put up an under construction GIF on your main revenue driver and tell customers to check back in the fall.
Exactly. This is where a brilliantly named deployment strategy comes into play. The strangler fig pattern.
The strangler fig pattern. It sounds like a botanical horror movie.
It does, but it is a very apt metaphor from nature. Instead of a massive, highly risky big bang cutover where you swap the whole system overnight and cross your fingers.
This sounds awful.
Right. Instead of that, you incrementally replace legacy parts of the application with modern equivalents. You put them behind a shared interface, essentially running both the old and new systems in parallel.
Okay.
The new modern system slowly grows around the old legacy system, like a strangler fig tree growing around an old tree in a rainforest, until the legacy system is entirely replaced and can be safely decommissioned.
So the user never actually knows the migration is happening. They just keep using the app while the foundation is swapped out brick by brick underneath them.
Exactly. It catches subtle bugs without taking down your entire operation.
Here's where it gets really interesting, because the way engineering teams actually execute these brick by brick migrations is experiencing a massive revolution right now. The absolute game changer of 2026 is AI-assisted migration tooling.
Oh, absolutely.
We're talking about tools like Microsoft's GitHub Copilot, integrated directly into the newest development environments like Visual Studio 2026.
The reduction in manual labor is staggering when applied correctly.
The source outlines some of these incredible superpowers that AI brings to the table. And it isn't just a fancy spell checker. It is an agent-based system that can automate 60 to 80% of the mechanical work involved in a framework migration.
Which frees up the developers immensely.
Yes. It can rewrite breaking API changes across your entire solution. It can automatically map out those nightmare NuGet dependency chains we talked about earlier.
Mm.
And remember those 400 automated tests that enterprise team had to write?
Yeah.
AI can actually auto-generate the bulk of those unit tests and regression tests to validate the app's behavior. Best of all, it learns from the manual corrections your engineers make and applies those same fixes across the entire code base.
It's a powerful copilot, without a doubt.
Right.
We do need to step back and be the voice of reason here regarding what AI cannot do.
Fair enough.
AI is fantastic at handling the sheer volume of code translation, but it cannot make architectural decisions. And AI cannot sit in a boardroom and decide whether your specific business needs require replacing that old WCF communication layer with gRPC or a REST API. It cannot validate your custom domain-specific business logic to ensure it complies with your industry's regulations.
It is definitely not going to run your weekly update meeting with the CEO to explain why the timeline shifted by a week.
Exactly. The core philosophy outlined in the Technegean data sums this up perfectly. The AI handles the volume, our engineers handle the judgment.
I like that.
You still need deep human expertise to navigate the organizational context, manage stakeholder expectations, and make those high-stakes architectural choices.
Let's ground this in some concrete numbers, because you listening to this are probably wondering, okay, I understand the risks, I understand the AI tools, what is this actually going to cost me, and how long will it take?
The big questions.
Always. The guide provides some very clear, hard numbers for 2026. If you have a small API, meaning a back-end service with less than 50,000 lines of code, you're looking at a timeline of 2 to 4 weeks and a cost between $15,000 and $40,000.
Very reasonable.
Right. If you step up to a mid-size web app, around 50,000 to 150,000 lines of code. That will take 4 to 8 weeks and cost roughly $40,000 to $90,000.
And for the real heavyweights, the complex monoliths.
Yeah, if your application is a massive interconnected monolith, over 500,000 lines of code, you are staring down a timeline of 16 to 32 weeks with costs starting at $200,000 and easily scaling past $500,000.
It's a significant investment.
I have to play devil's advocate here. Wait, $500,000 and 32 wins for a migration. As a business leader, why wouldn't I just take that $500,000, scrap the old system entirely, and build a brand new app from scratch?
It is a common question. But building from scratch is almost always a trap.
Why is that?
First, a completely new build of an enterprise monolith will take years, not weeks. Second, you lose 10 years of institutional knowledge baked into the old code. Every edge case, every weird customer workaround, every obscure bug fix, a migration preserves that validated business logic while upgrading the engine.
That makes a lot of sense, actually.
Furthermore, it is critical to note that those cost estimates from Technigian assume you are utilizing AI-assisted tooling. The manual penalty for doing this the old-fashioned way is severe.
How severe?
Doing a migration without AI costs 40 to 50% more and takes 50 to 70% longer.
So without AI, that $500,000 project approaches $1 million and takes a year.
Exactly.
Which brings us to how specialized agencies are actually tackling this chaos for their clients. The source outlines the specific playbook used by Technigian, the Southern California agency that authored the guide. They utilize what they call the hybrid advantage.
Right.
Part of that is a contract-first methodology. They audit your entire code base before writing a single line of code, and they give you a fixed price. No scope creep, no budget overruns. Mm-hmm. In the world of enterprise software, a fixed price is almost unheard of.
It speaks to the predictability that modern AI tooling and deep architectural experience bring to the table. And their approach doesn't end at deployment. They detail this concept of a Technigian pod.
Tell me about the pod.
Well, they don't just migrate your code, hand you the keys, and walk away to let your team figure out the new Linux hosting environment. They provide 247 post-migration managed operations. They handle the performance monitoring, the security patching, the dependency updates on those new load-bearing beams we talked about.
Oh, that's comprehensive.
As they put it, we maintain what we build. It is a highly holistic approach to application modernization.
So what does this all mean? Let's bring it all together. Migrating your legacy application from .NET Framework to modern .NET 8 is not just some annoying IT chore that you can push off until next year's budget cycle. It is a vital, urgent business strategy.
It really is.
Sticking with that old framework is a ticking clock. You are accumulating critical security audit risks with every unpatched vulnerability. You are facing a massive hiring nightmare as developers flee legacy tech. And you are bleeding cash every single month on Windows Server licenses that you simply do not need to be paying for.
The main takeaway for you, listening right now, is that the old adage, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, is a dangerous trap in the modern enterprise landscape. Your legacy system may appear stable on the surface, but underneath, the foundation is eroding rapidly.
Very rapidly.
This raises an important question, and it is something buried deep in the technical comparison chart of the source material. Legacy.NET Framework 4.8 has absolutely no native AI or machine learning support. None.
None at all.
If you want to add an AI feature to that old app, you have to rely on incredibly complex, brittle workarounds. Meanwhile, .NET 8 features built-in native ML.NET integration. It is designed from the ground up to support AI-powered application features seamlessly.
Wow.
So the provocative thought I want to leave you with is this. What if the true cost of staying on legacy isn't just the higher cloud hosting fees? What if it isn't just the security risks or the difficult recruiting? What if the ultimate hidden tax is that your legacy architecture completely locks you out of integrating native AI features tomorrow? By delaying this migration, you aren't just pausing maintenance. You are actively choosing to make your core business application obsolete in the AI era.
Wow. Actively choosing obsolescence. That is a heavy but incredibly necessary thought to end on. Mm. If you want your business to be ready for the future, your foundation has to be built to support it. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Take that final thought, mull it over with your engineering teams, and we will catch you on the next one.